Exhibited at the Royal Academy in 1879, Edmund Blair Leighton's painting Till Death Us Do Part is a really wonderful example of Victorian narrative painting. And though at one level a humorous work, it nevertheless has a serious side, as it treats a subject which touched the lives of many people in a profound way in the Victorian period and does still in many societies today. What almost all spectators see when they first look at this painting is a bride on the arm of her father, processing down the nave towards the altar, there to meet the bridegroom. But look again. No, the altar is in fact behind them. The congregation are not sitting expectantly waiting for a marriage ceremony. Actually, they're getting up from their seats. A ceremony has already taken place. The white-haired gentleman and the young lady on his arm, these are the bride and groom. In the words of the critic of the Times, writing about this picture in 1879, May has married December. It's then that you begin to realise the significance of the young man in one of the pews on the left, gazing in a sad and dejected fashion at the young lady, and the fact that she is casting her eyes downwards to avoid his gaze. But I think, let's just take up the description in the words of a contemporary. And this is from the pages of the Liverpool Mercury for 16th of September, 1879. The gentleman appears to be about twice the age of the lady, say 56, and by his countenance we should say that he is quite satisfied with himself and his pocket, and if we were asked his name, we should say it was Squire Moneybags, who has bought his wife with the contents of the said bags. The real owner, according to God's laws on this earth, is a young gentleman standing up in a seat by the aisle where the couple must pass, and whose melancholy and touching expression as he looks on the passing bride is, alas, faithless woman, we loved each other as man and woman ought to love when nature brings them together, but money intervened, and she was bought from me, and the world is lonesome and vacant to me now, and I have nothing left to live for or love in this strange world. The young lady in this picture, the article goes on, has just seen the handsome young gentleman her heart was given to and whom she loved, and is closing her eyes and with smothered emotion trying to pass her former lover without a scene. And her husband seems to be affected by a sort of electric passage, for he only looks like a gentleman poacher who has stolen other men's goods. If we had advice to give to young ladies, it is, take what God intended and marry your first love, and you will bring about, in time, that wealth of position which at tremendous sacrifice of life's best affections your parents or ill-advisers wish you to jump at without working for it. It's a sentiment which we all now endorse without a second thought. But it's worth remembering that in Victorian Britain up to 1870, with the passing of the Married Women's Property Act, a woman who married became effectively her husband's property. Everything she owned, and even in the event of separation, everything she earned, was immediately and automatically the property of her husband. Once married, a woman's identity, legally speaking, was subsumed entirely into that of her husband. As a legal entity, she ceased to exist. The Married Women's Property Act of 1870 made a start in rectifying this state of affairs. At least married women were now able to own what they earned. But the Act didn't go nearly far enough, and so the whole issue was still very live and a topical one when Blair Leighton was working on this painting. It was not until another Married Women's Property Act passed in 1882 that married women were able to separate all their property from that of their husband. So, though Blair Leighton's picture is not a political tract, it deals with a much more topical issue than we might at first realise, and there really was every reason to take very great care in selecting a husband. That is why so often in the 19th century you encounter young couples forced to wait years before they were judged sufficiently secure financially to marry. Now, I'm not saying we're being invited to admire the young lady in Till Death Us Do Part for her prudence. All the same, we should perhaps not be too hasty to condemn her.